Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to that side of the camera. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren today. And before we get going, I have, an announcement to make. Many of you that are on that side of the camera know that, of course, we record these, and it all started with the COVID thing. And we recorded an Easter sunrise service out on my property. And it was a success. And many of you have watched it by the little clicker there at the bottom. And then we did it again last year. Of course, we're doing sunrise service again this year and we're recording. But if you would like to attend, you are more than welcome to come out on Easter Sunday. Sunrise service at 6:30 a.m. Well, I was going to say p.m. Well, that would have been a mess, wouldn't it? Not moonrise, sunrise. And the address is 3712D Brethren Church Road, Myersville, Maryland. Now, just once you get in the driveway, you'll realize where it's at, and you're welcome. Bring lawn chairs, and I'm not feeding you, so come on out. Our sermon today is called A Single Tear. And the scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. And as boys will tend to do when they get together in a crowd, boys like to try to outdo each other, telling stories about how great things are. Those same boys grow into men that tell stories about it and try to outlie each other. But this particular group of boys was drawn together and they were talking about their dad. And one little boy says, "Well, my daddy is the conductor of an orchestra. And he scribbles down some music and picks up a stick, and 55 people have to do exactly what he says. Makes him great." Another little boy says, "Well, my daddy is a U.S. senator. And he stands up and he says things, and a law gets made because of the words he says." And the other little boy, leaning back on the wall, says, "Y'all ain't got nothing. My daddy is a minister down at the big church. And he gets up on Sunday morning and says a couple lines that he has scribbled down on a piece of paper. And fellas, it takes four strong men to carry all the money for him up to the front of the church." I haven't seen that yet, but anyhow, single tear. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those he sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground because you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." May He add His blessings to this sermon as we seek Him to these words. Let us join in prayer. Father, we thank you. We ask that you watch over and keep us through this sermon, that these words will open our heart, open our minds, and allow us to share in communion with you. That we will be strengthened from them. That we will be more equipped and more ready to talk freely about our Savior Jesus Christ and spread the word, the gospel. Lift us up through this, Father. In His name we pray. And all of His children said, Amen. Espira Oscar de Corte. I'll say that name again because I love saying that name so much. I think I'm going to change my middle name to that. Espira Oscar de Corte. See, I can do Italian because I've eaten enough of it that I'm allowed to. Was born on April 3rd, 1904, just a few days ago, in Kaplan in Vermilion Parish in southwest Louisiana, a second son of Francesca Cipriata. I'm good at that, ain't I? You can say I am. From Sicily, and her husband, Antonio de Corte de Espera, from southern Italy. He had two brothers, Joseph and Frank, and a sister, and his parents ran a local grocery store in Guiden, Louisiana, where he grew up. Born in 1906. Now, Espera didn't like being a grocery store clerk, and he sought bigger things. And Espera got a chance one time to learn about movies. Having seen one, decided he wanted to learn how to become a movie actor. But he wasn't real good in the face for it. So he took work as a character actor starting in the 1920s and worked in film and television until his death in 1999. Espera Oscar de Corte. I love that name. He appeared in more than 200 films, most of them westerns. Yes, the greatest movies ever put out are westerns. Don't argue with me. The Big Trail, he acted with the Duke, John Wayne. He played Indians. He played Crazy Horse. He acted with Steve McQueen in A Man Called Horse. And he acted in one of the greatest movies ever put on film that I love to this day and still love to watch it, Ernest Goes to Camp. Nobody, Jim Varney. What do you mean, Vern? He was also in nearly 100 television programs. He was a friend of Roy Rogers. He was a close friend of Walt Disney, so much so that he appeared in a Disney movie called The First Americans, and in episodes of The Mountain Man, and he starred in those great television shows, Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. How many people watched them growing up? They were, I'm not that old, but I got to watch, I watched the reruns. Because Daniel Boone, I mean, you know, killed him a bear and Boone and all that. In 1964, Estera appeared as Chief Blackfeather in an episode of The Virginian. He was well known for being a great character actor. And somewhere along the way, Espera decided that his name didn't work, so he changed it to Tony. That's boring. He wanted to be known as Tony Cordy, and then Tony Cody. He was trying to assimilate. Now, Espera will forever be known to me because of one thing he did. And not that he was in the movie Ernest Goes to Camp, which is a classic and ought to be put in the National Archives. He touched my heart when I was a young kid growing up when I saw him do this thing. Espera, Tony, got in a canoe, an Indian canoe, and he paddled down a river. And the river was blissful and serene, and the music was wonderful. And I was thinking in them days how wonderful it would be for me to be able to paddle down a river in a canoe like that. And the canoe stops, and there's his horse sitting alongside the bank. That's a pretty good trick, ain't it? He had his car parked right there. And he gets out, and he starts walking through this meadow, and he goes up this lush green landscape. When he comes down the other side, he takes notice of the mess the humans had made. And the only thing that's said in this ad, William Conrad says, people start pollution. People can stop it. And at that moment, if you remember, a car window as it's rolled down comes by and throws trash at the feet of Iron Eyes Cody. And the camera pans back to show that single tear coming down that Indian's face. And it changed how we looked at pollution in the world forever. That scene has always stayed with me. That commercial, I can see it right now. I can see it. I can watch it. And I'm often said that people are like, how can you live in the world that you live in where you see all that stuff from so long ago and remember it and it suddenly comes up? I don't know. I'm weird. I don't know. But it affected me watching a single tear fall. Now, we know that I can get a little emotional over certain things. All right? We've discussed it. I might actually shed one tear when Chitty Chitty Bang Bang comes out of the barn all rebuilt. I might actually, that one commercial at the Christmas time, I might shed one little tear when the guy comes home, you know, the Folgers commercial, and he's down there making coffee, and Mama comes down the steps and see her boy home, and everybody's, I might shed a little tear. Or, you know, I might shed a tear, you know, at the end of Sense and Sensibility when Edward finally comes back and he, anyhow, never mind that. I don't want to shed no tear. It's a powerful thing to see that moment. It's a powerful thing to see someone so caught up in that moment that a single tear can speak that much. And in that moment, with Iron Eyes Cody, who, by the way, was an Italian man, not an Indian, never was an Indian, but yet became part of that culture because he looked like one. It was a powerful thing to watch Espera Conte, Iron Eyes Cody, call into our existence, our thought process, the mess that was there. And that's where we find ourselves today. So much love. There's so much passion. There's so much desire, knowing that there's so much pain getting ready to come out of what's about to happen. It's Palm Sunday. We see the palms out here. I remember as a kid, we don't do that much anymore, but you handed out palms on the way out. I think churches learned early on not to hand them to people on the way in, because when the kids got a hold of them, they got taken away, or kids were in the back of the church smacking one another with it. But you got your palms on the way out. And I'm telling you, to this day, I see people that take the palms and fold them into a cross and hang them from their mirror in their car. And it always touches me when I'm driving and I look over in somebody's car and I see that reminder that today Jesus Christ started his ride to his death to save us. And when I'm at a traffic light and I see your car with that hanging, I blow the horn and try to talk to you. Now, unfortunately, that scares a lot of people, because I'll blow the horn, beep, 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 and the person will look over me. I'm like, that's awesome. He is risen. And they drive through the red light. I didn't think I looked that scary. And yet we're looking at today, we just finished up with the bread and cup. We're thinking about today. And this whole scripture, we start at the beginning of it, where he's going to Jerusalem. The Bible says he went up first. And when he was there, he told his disciples what? Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there. Now, we have some horse people in our audience. I know, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Four in this, and I probably imagine there's more over there. And I have made the mistake far too often of calling a colt a horse. No, this is a donkey. This is a donkey. A colt. Jesus says, which no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you're untying it, tell them the Lord needs it. And so they went and did it. And if you don't do anything else on this Sunday, if you don't take anything else away from that, reread that to yourself and think about how amazing that was. That'd be the equivalent of somebody showing up in your driveway to get your brand new car out the driveway. And when you go out there and what are you doing? Well, the Lord needs it. I don't think that would work in today's world. And yet so beautiful and so pure and so wonderful was this moment as Jesus prepared for His passion, that everything was as God said. They go down, they find the colt. Somebody asks, they said, the Lord needs it. And so that He wouldn't even touch the back of the animal, they spread their cloaks on it and then threw them on the ground so the feet carrying the king would not touch the dirt. And yet there was a misreading coming. When He came near the place which where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And when I read that, I feel like I'm reading where they have misread what Jesus has been telling them. He is coming. He is the King. But in this moment, He's not the King that the Jews were expecting. He's not coming down to release them from the bondage they know physically. He's not coming down to take them away from the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the rules and all the Roman oppression. He's not coming down to swing a mighty sword. Our Savior is coming down to die on a tree after He has been laid in the dirt and will be put in a tomb that doesn't even belong to Him. That is the Savior that's coming. And He knows it, and they don't. They still don't have a clue. And we go on a little bit further and we get to that 41st verse. This is the one that tears me up. As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it. That single tear. He's looking down at what a mess things have become. It's no different then than it is now. I've said this 100,000,000 times maybe. Everybody's like, oh, it's so terrible today. Oh, the world is so horrible today. Oh, it's just a mess. Yes. Oh, it's just so much worse than it's ever been. No. It's exactly the same it has been since the fall of man, since we were taken out of the Garden of Eden, since we have tried repeatedly to correct this ship. It has been a mess since we have tried to reroute the bow of this ship, which is slowly working away. Jesus sees this in this moment, knowing that He is about to give Himself to correct it. And He cries. And I can see that scene as clearly as I can see Iron Eyes Cody walking over the top of that hill, leading his horse, not riding it, leading it and crying at what he sees. Jesus sitting on that colt, being led into Jerusalem, being led like a lamb to the slaughter, the Bible says, being led in, looks down and sees what he loves, sees that beauty, and cries. I think about what Linda said earlier, what he is preparing himself to do. I take this week very seriously, more so than Christmas. Yes, he was born, but because of what's about to take place over the next few days, we were saved. The Bible records a little further that he talks to Jerusalem, to anyone in particular. If you, only you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it will be hidden from your eyes. I even go a little further. The reason I finished out that scripture instead of stopping right there is because it refers to the destruction of Jerusalem as stone being torn down from stone, and that your enemies will surround you and they will come against you. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you, it goes on this very day. You are the temple of Jesus Christ, and the enemies of this world surround you daily and try to tear you down. And because of the blood he spilled, we are built to take it. We are built to survive it. We are built to come back again and again and again and say, but I have the love of Jesus whom I believe in. Amen. And I don't care if it's that single tear. It can be many. And I love reading this moment. I love this. And I would not have wanted to have been there. As I've said, hope they have a big video player up in heaven when I get there with a library and catalog and buttons, because then I'll get to watch this stuff and relive what my Savior did. Boop, there's what I want to see today. But in this moment, I can feel it. I can live it, because I know that Jesus Christ gave His life, His blood, His soul, His everything to save me, who did not deserve it. A drunk, a drug user, a bad person for a while. And yet, because he loved me and knew, that single tear saved my life, just like it has saved yours and continues to do so time and time and time again. Why? Because he loves us. Because he was ready for the sacrifice. It is said that Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once captured a prince and his family. When they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" "The half of my wealth," was the prince's reply. "And if I release your children?" Everything I possess. "And if I release your wife?" "Your majesty," said the prince, "I will give you myself." Cyrus was so moved by his devotion that he freed them all. And as they returned home, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" And with a deep look of love for her husband, she said to him, "I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you. You, the one willing to give yourself for me." That's all I can think about these next few days, is my eyes on Jesus Christ, the one who was willing to give himself for me. And it starts today with a single tear. He continues to grieve. We often forget to flip over to Matthew 24 and take a quick look at a couple of verses there. In the 37th verse, Jesus still grieving. "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you're not willing. Look at your house. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" His heart is so full of love, so full of grief, so full of readiness for this sacrifice, that he can't help expressing it. We talk of pain. The story is told of the baptism of King Aengus, by St. Patrick in the middle of the 5th century. Sometime during the rite, St. Patrick leaned on his sharp-pointed staff inadvertently and stabbed the king's foot. After the baptism was over, St. Patrick looked down at all the blood and realized what he had done and begged the king's forgiveness. "Why did you suffer this pain in silence?" the saint wanted to know. The king replied, "As Jesus did, so should I, as I thought this was part of the ritual."
The pain and anguish causing, bringing this single tear, the ritual that is coming throughout this week. I find myself in my musings traveling to what Jesus is doing and what is going through his mind, and I am lifted in my heart, knowing that because of my sins, because of his sacrifice, because of my belief and understanding and professing it openly, fully, that we are saved. Amen. We are saved. We sit here today in the throes of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the magnitude. And yet I want us to dwell on what is yet coming, so that next Sunday, Dr. George Sweeting tells of an incident in the early 1920s when communist leader Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kyiv. Think about that one for a minute. To address an anti-God rally. For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as the whole structure of this belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited, and an Orthodox church priest rose and asked to speak. He turned, faced the people, and gave the greeting for Easter that will be coming Sunday. Out of all this destruction, he is risen! Instantly, the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back, to which it shook the walls. He is risen indeed. From a single tear that is shed, from the blood that will be spilt, Jesus Christ is about to show us what is coming. He is about to rise up above everything after all of this and truly show us the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into our lives. That starts today with a single tear. Blessings to each and every one of you as you prepare yourself for this holy week. And may you know what Jesus Christ has done for you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for these words. Thank you, Father, for these blessings and for this message. Thank you, Father, that we are able to take this and grow from it, Father. We ask that you lift us up at the beginning of this holy week, and we start right here by reminding ourselves that the single tear that eventually dropped saved us. Let us be in thoughtfulness and introspection going through this week as we prepare for what is yet to come. And know our blessings from your Son that sacrificed all to save us. Thank you for bringing him to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.